Best-selling and award-winning author Lisa Scottolini reaches new heights with a riveting new novel about how a single decision can undo a family, how our past can derail our present, and how not guilty doesn't always mean innocent. Someone Knows is the new novel. It's a complex psychological thriller that not only delves deeply into the lives of the five young people the story center, but also into the troubled lives of many of the adults living in an insular community where carefully curated appearances can be quite deceptive. With inspiration from Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, she explores the guilt that ripples from a 20-year-old tragedy that took one teenager's life and forever changed many others. Lisa Scottolini is the New York Times bestselling author and Edgar Award-winning author of 32 novels. She is one of my favorite guests, and I am very pleased to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm so glad to talk to you, and that was just the best summary I could ever have thought of. Thank you so much for it.
Well, thank you. Well, look at you getting all Dostoevsky on us.
I'm telling you, right?
What is it like to talk about the impact of Dostoevsky at a Costco and King of Prussia?
It's, you know what? It's awesome. It's funny because I never have written a prologue like that because, you know, all the books are about justice to a certain extent.
Right.
And a lot of them are about, you know, you have this idea that like justice is punishment. And I've often thought that's not really quite what justice is. But this book sort of looks at what is justice in the absence of any punishment? Because as you say, they get away with this teenage prank gone horribly wrong. But I thought to myself, you know what, Lisa? I have it on the first page. I just said, this is Dostoevsky. He thought of it first, girl. But you really want to just really examine. Look, as a lawyer and as a law professor, I've always been interested in, yeah, that great slogan, no justice, no peace, is really true. What is the relationship of, what is justice exactly? How does it change in circumstance? And what is its relationship to the human psyche and a feeling of well-being? You know, because this girl in this book didn't get punished, she punishes herself, and as a result, she never heals. You know, like a prison sentence has an end. But if you give one to yourself, it's endless. And I really wanted to sort of go there in this book, so I got a little hoity-toity for us all. I'm an English major, after all.
Absolutely.
I can talk that talk, babe.
Absolutely.
You know.
Put it to use. So tell us about Ally Garvey.
Well, you know, I feel like she reminds me of me. But, I mean, she reminds me of a lot of people I know because when this teenage – she's sort of like on the outside of the cool kids. Like, I was Latin Club. I was the secretary of Latin Club, I'll have you know. And
congratulations.
So obviously,
good
you know,
for you.
Which meant that I had no one to sit with at lunch. And it's incredible how those feelings come back to you or never leave you in the first place, which is also terrifying. So basically, she is on the outside of it, and one night she ends up with the cool kids, and they're drinking a little, and she has a big crushy, and we all know that, you know, hormones influence us, although in the days I had them, now I don't have any, which is great. So she's sort of in love with this guy, and she goes along, and this awful prank goes tragically wrong and someone is dead. And the question is, she, you know, because it was sort of a conspiracy of silence, they all stayed quiet and went their separate ways, getting away with it in different ways. And it affects her as this over-responsible young girl. And I think a lot of, you know, well, there's a lot of people can relate to that no matter gender or age. And she's got to figure out what happened and what exactly is her culpability, or she will never be free of it. And it has a surprise ending because it came as a surprise to me. Doesn't sound professional, but...
No, it does. It means that the work brought you to a place that perhaps you weren't expecting, which I think I would think for the writer would be lovely.
I can't believe the way you just said that. That is poetry. That is poetry, Joe. It brought me to a place I wasn't expecting.
It's the Dostoevsky in me. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's also a little like life. I mean, you're always trying to, since I don't have the outline and I just kind of write what happens, you're right, though. It does bring you to a place. And you want that freshness and that surprise. You know, Sondheim says, surprise me. You know, you want that freshness in art. And that's the only way I know how to get it in. If I don't know what's going to happen, because I'm a bad secret keeper. Like, I can keep other people's secrets, but if I know something, I can't wait to tell you. And that's hard. So I'm too confessional. So in a way, if I don't know it, is the only way I can keep it to myself. And that's what happens in the book.
So tell us about how you tell the book. The book is, what, I think, 106 chapters, and they're all very short, which keeps the pace just going, and which is fantastic. You write it from different perspectives, so each chapter is somebody else's perspective.
Right, because they all have a different view of truth, which, you know, I taught myself now that we know that happens in the world, even with an event that is not traumatic. But when there's a traumatic event, what is the truth? What is everyone's perception in that moment? Then what is their memory of it 20 years later? You know, partly is I've written 30 novels now, and I start to, you know, you look, if you become a grown-up at some point, you kind of look back at your own life, particularly if you're divorced twice, just hypothetically speaking. And, you know, you sort of say, what were you thinking, girl? Like, what dumb things did you do in your youth that you were amazed to have survived? And I sort of wanted to look at that, too. Obviously, I haven't done anything as horribly horrific as what happens in this book. But certainly, I mean, I hitchhiked. I married. You know, I made dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
And I want to see, what did you do differently? What would you do differently? You know, she would do something differently, but not everybody in this book would do something differently. And it's funny because I said, well, if you're going to have to write about younger people, go back to the high school. I actually hung out in the high school as I hadn't in a while and discovered, of course, the amazing thing that maturity has nothing to do with age. You know, that these 15 and 16-year-olds that I was just dropping in on to hear how they talk these days and all that stuff are so sophisticated and in many cases more mature than, you know, my neighbor who's 45. And so that goes into the mix, too. And you're always forming you know, if you're trying to write a novel that people will turn the pages fast on, it's not that the characters are cardboard or that there's action. It has to be that you have to make people care so much about these characters
right.
And they feel real to you, right? And to them, too. And so all of that goes into this book. You have to write about the emotional truth that you have felt in your life to make the reader feel that emotional truth.
What high school did you go to in...
I went to Lower Merion High School.
Oh, Lower Merion High School. Is it the high school you went to?
Oh, actually, I didn't go back to that high school for this. I went to the high school that's around the corner that my daughter actually went to.
Oh.
But it's not dissimilar.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't all high schools the same? There's always a kid from the Latin Club holding the tray waiting to sit at a table, and they're all full.
Yeah. I went to Wissahickon.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, then you know.
And my Latin teacher was Joe Weaver.
Oh, how great. Did you take Latin? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know
well,
I like
how,
you.
How can you not take Latin? I'm a Catholic.
Right,
you know,
right.
Irish
you love
Catholic
words.
Kid, you got it. Well, sure. Yeah.
Mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa, Joe.
Now, I left the Philly area like 30 years ago, and I've been here ever since. What I have noticed in going back is these developments, these communities that have taken over. I lived in an old farmhouse on Route 73, and it was a beautiful, beautiful old carriage house. And now it's there, but my God, there are about 4,000 houses around it. And you get into that, and
right.
you as I mentioned in the introduction, these insular communities. There's something to that adds to this dynamic, doesn't it?
Well, that's and I would love when you said that in the intro, because the truth is I everything has to work in a novel for a novel to work, and setting is a key. So. But I had the same feeling as you. I actually live in an old farmhouse, and the novel takes place in a development because, first off, you can't miss the resonance of young people developing in a development. And there are so much developments all over the country. You know, you travel around. Now that everybody has a gap, everybody has everything. We all know that. And I wanted to explore the effect of the land on the psyche. You know, how are you different if you grow up in a house that is the Model A as opposed to the Model D? So all the houses are mirror images, are the families. How alike are they and how different are they? You know, it was interesting, this one development, so much of the development was defined by how much space, the lot size. You know, you learn all these great terms, which I put in the book. But interestingly, the space, the interstices, now I'm really trying to show off for you now.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
How am I doing? The spaces between the families is what's interesting to me, you know, and then the space within the families, between the family members, for example, divorced family in this book. And I was like, okay, you got to write something emotionally true. We got to mine your own experience. I mean, my parents were divorced. I got divorced, my kid was divorced. There's a point when there's some point the child in the book, the young adult in the book says, you know, my life is divided into my dad's weekends and my mom's weekends. Where are my weekends? Oh. And I think, you know, like I felt that. I know that feeling. I saw my kid feel that. And I was like, ah, oh, I want to write about modern life, truly modern life, the effect of this place on these people, what it's like when the cool kids live next door to the kid in Latin club, and what happens at this traumatizing event, and what effect does it have on their lives, and can it be undone? Can you find justice in this situation?
You know, one thing I want to talk about memory for a second, but before we go to that, just on this idea of in the houses and in this community that you write the book in, you know, I have friends that I grew up with and who now still live in the area, still live in outside of Philly, and it doesn't obviously have to be there. It happens all over the country. But what's right. fascinating to me is you ask them why they live in these places, and they say, oh, because I want a great place for my kids, and I want a community, and all of that, and then you say, oh, who lives next to you? And they say, I have no idea. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Right. And that fascinates me. It is a community, and yet it's also, and I use the word again, as you used, insular.
Right. And also, interestingly, you know, geography, like we can have a common ground because I know Wissahickon and I know Route 73.
Yeah.
But interestingly, then you go to the point, well, let's say what is happening, at least what I'm observing, is the developments replace the towns. So, for example, the town where I live in Chester County becomes irrelevant. If you say to somebody, where do you live? They would say, Charlestown Mews.
Right.
Well, that's the name of their development. And everybody knows it as a development. And that's what's happened in this book, too. What happens to the psyche when the geography changes, when the town is obsolete? The development is all. And if you have the strip mall right next to the development, no one will ever leave it. And if you put a gate on it, then you're in real trouble. Or your real safety. What are you doing, and what effect does it have on the soul? That's what I'm interested in.
You got a new contract. You got a new publisher. Can you get a new house?
Mm-hmm. No, same old house. I only get just better repairs.
All right, not better. Okay, all right.
You lived in a farmhouse. You know.
No, that's
like
a money pit.
I'm having a good day.
yeah, absolutely.
But really, it's a farm. I mean, I live on a farm, honestly.
That's cool. Now, let me ask you, one of the things that I loved about the novel is that you explore memory. Memory has a huge part to do with this book. And it's your memory may be different than my memory, is different than whoever's memory. And that is a fascinating thing to think, because everybody thinks they're right.
Right, which is amazing. And then you sort of realize truth is sort of almost follows the same paradigm. Excuse me. But, you know, as we get older, we see, you know, I'm a single mother, right? My daughter and I will look back and we'll go, well, when that happened, I'm trying to think back to my first marriage and my second marriage, which is like, you know, exploring your life through the Pleistocene or the Jurassic. You go, well, hell, at that time period, she'll say, well, this is what Dad said. And I'll say, no, that's not what he said. This is what he said. And our memory is different. And then if you throw that into a trauma, add trauma to that.
Yeah.
Add a funeral. Add a wedding. Add something emotional. How does that change memory? And what effect over time? You know, you're trying to explore all these things. I try to write books that move fast, but also smart people enjoy. I think you have to do that these days, which, look, I know how lucky I am to be able to do that these days. But people want that, I think, in fiction. And I like to... You know, I never have done this before, but in the prologue of this book, which I've never even written a prologue before, I say directly, you know, we think we learn from nonfiction, and we do. I believe plenty of nonfiction. But we don't always think we learn from fiction. People in book clubs, in fact, there's a lot of developments who have book clubs.
Yep.
And I wanted to sort of say, hey, what'd you learn from the last fiction you read? Because the arts matter. And the truth is what makes the connection in the arts, and that's what you're really trying to do in fiction. So hopefully you get a revelation about yourself, your own life, and your times, and how your life has changed over time in a novel. I'm trying to do that, believe it or not.
We're just about out of time, but you know, you have a series, you have two series, and this is a standalone. Do you like that? I mean, when you can, because you've written several of them. Is that just very freeing and nice?
What is really nice, freeing is a good word, but the real truth is every novel that works at least of mine, is because the character is there. You care about the character. Like, briefly, you know, my daughter, she has a cold right now. I'm worried about her. I'm going to call her later. That's not a good story, but I care a lot about it because it's her and I love her. So in any novel you write, whether it's a standalone or a series, you're examining a character that at some level is really relatable. And in a series, you're just doing it over time. I do like the freedom of writing. You know, you get to invent a whole history. All the characters in this book have different families and different histories, and we look at how it forms their reaction to this event, and then, you know, sends them on a vector that they follow. And I'm saying words like trajectory, which I sort of half know the meaning of, but you get the idea.
You because
your listeners are so smart.
No.
You know, they're skewing off into this apart from each other, and they're going to have to sort it out what all happened. But I do like the freedom of doing this now. Anytime I write anything, and anytime anybody reads anything, I think there's a freedom in it, too. It's really a wonderful life in books, honestly.
The same woman who wrote the book, Why My Third Husband Will Be a Dog, has written the new novel, Someone Knows. It is published by Putnam. Lisa, I just love having you on the program and love talking to you. Thank you very much. Best of luck with the book. It's a real winner.
You are terrific, and I really love talking with you, too. And I'll take care of the home front for you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right.
Lisa Scottolini's, and to you. Lisa Scottolini's Someone Knows is now out. It is published by Putnam. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC Northeast Public Radio.